Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Mary Jesus, I'm crying, singing, glauben erblick, wird Teil zu der selbigen Stund. Drum blick nur auf ihn, wenn der Vater geschickt, der eins auf ihr die Wahl verwund. Sie, Mary Jesus am Kreuz, singen Glauben erblick, der Herr zu derselbigen Stund. O hat mich dein Jesus getragen, die Schuld gebeset am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmen der Hut, zur Erlösung für dich und für mich. Sieh, der Jesus am Kreuz, sehen Glauben erblick, wird Heil zu derselbigen Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebete sind nicht, wodurch du mich Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilands befreit von Gericht, er ist der dir Gnade gekränkt. Sieh, der Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wird Heil zu der selbige Stund. O zweifle nicht länger, o glaub es gewiss, du hast nun sonst nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus ertrat auch für dich in den Riss, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhn. Sieh, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer hat zu derselbigen Stund. So nimm nun mit Freuden, was Jesus dir beugt, er gibt dir das ewige Heil. O glaub es gewiss, o ergreif es doch heut, so bleib es dein ewiges Teil. siehst in der See, der Jesus am Kreuz den Glauben erblickt, der Heil zu derselbigen Sturm. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine.
For thee all the follies of sin I resign.
My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the dead drew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now. And mansions of glory and endless delight, if ever I adore thee in heaven so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now.
Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's my thought. I hope I can bring it out what I'm seeing. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and had dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Und Gott segnete sie und sprach zu ihnen, seid fruchtbar und mehret euch und füllet die Erde. That was God speaking, eh? That's what God, like when God speaks, eh? And he says, be fruitful and multiply. That is not just a one-time deal. It's law and the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Said it to every creature, be fruitful and multiply. And that's what you see out there. Everything is being fruitful and multiply, and everything is filling the earth. And he said that to Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply. That, like I say, mm-hmm. that law is still active today.
Mm-hmm.
It's a built-in thing that every human being, every boy and every girl, when they come up to a certain age, there's something in their makeup that wants to have a family. It's just natural, just like with nature, you know, and animal kingdom and the bird kingdom, and the goose, they lay their nest and they're very protective of it. And the same here, it's a built-in when a young man, like I say, comes up to the certain age, there's something in his makeup that wants to be a girl, if he wants to be a mother, and a man wants to be a father, wants to have a family. You can't deny it, you know, you can't shut it down. It's just like I say, it's like gravity, like when God speaks, he puts that into the genetic and the makeup of a man. But I'm trying to get to something here, but before that, it happens what's supposed to happen, like Cain and Abel. They came up to a certain age of, I call it the age of accountability, and they brought they felt the need, both of them, Cain and Abel, they felt the need to bring the Lord a sacrifice. And that's what I call deeds of accountability. I'm just trying to walk you through my life. Like, I was born in 1947 in April 23rd, and then I didn't know what's going on. I was born in sin. I was just a natural band, like a natural birth, like everything else. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came into this world speaking lies, and I didn't know nothing about no God or no salvation or nothing. But I come to years of accountability. Like I say, I'm just speaking for myself now. I'm trying to walk you through what's actually going on out there beyond my better understanding. That's how the Lord has led my life is when I came a certain age. I call it, like I say, it came to the age of accountability, and I knew I got it. There's something in my makeup that I need to settle that score between me and the Lord of where I'm going to spend eternity. What am I going to do with this gnawing away in my conscience? What am I going to do about eternity? What am I going to do about hell? What am I going to do about it? It's just something that's supposed to be a built-in thing in every person, like Cain and Abel there. When they came to a certain age, like I say, they felt the need to bring God a sacrifice. And that's supposed to be in every human being. But Satan, he perverts everything. It's pretty hard to see that, but the last few days I've been walking through this thing, how Satan has perverted everything, but I'm trying to stay focused without Satan. Like, I'm trying to be as simple as I know how. You come to a certain age, you got to fix that score. Where am I going to spend eternity? And I take it for granted many times the way the Lord is dealing with me, that's the way he deals with everybody. And I assume he is if they're only sensitive, if they haven't been blinded by that religion out there, that thing they call religion and call church. But see, I'm walking you through this thing because I want to get to a point here that when you come to a certain age, you got to settle that score between you and the Lord, and that happened with me, and I'm walking you just through it, what I was being walked through by the Spirit of the Living God, not knowing what that is. It's just standard procedure. That's what God expects from every human being on the face of the earth. You got to settle that score. Where am I going to spend eternity? What am I going to do with this Jesus guy? Everybody, I'm like everybody else. I wanted to bypass God, Jesus. I didn't want to have nothing to do with the Jesus guy. And I came to a point where I come to the end of myself. I had nowhere to go. I just simply surrendered to God and let Jesus take your life. And then he just, I guess he saw I come to the end of myself. And then he shows up and then he forgave me of my sin and he gave me eternal life. But before that happened, I was under tremendous conviction, like the Bible says. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I was afraid of that judgment. If you don't have Jesus here, it's just that simple. You fall under God's judgment. And like I say, that's when I dealt that score. I think I was about 23 years old. And anyway, it happened in 1971 in the spring. And once I got saved, once the Lord, I got that deal squared away between me and the Lord. I became born again. The word took on new meaning. I had received life. That weight that I had, that judgment that was hanging over me, the Lord just came by my way and took it away. Simply because I believed him. And then that other thing started working in me. I make up to have a family. And I began to pray. I began to pray for a mate because I already had enough sense to know, I didn't. It was just something that built in me. And like I say, I take it for granted it works with everybody like that. And I began to pray for a mate. I began to pray to God that he would help me find somebody that he wants me to get together and have a family with. It's just a natural process. But here, there again, Satan, he pollutes everything, and he does exactly what he did back in the days of Noah. You know, Satan knew what's going on down in the land of Eden. These people were having they were normal people. They were, but they kept a certain age of accountability. The Lord somehow brought them together, and they began having children down in the land of Eden. But up in the land of Nod, it was just this filth. It was all about sex. That's what all it was. That stuff up in Nod, that's all they could produce. That was their whole makeup. And then Satan sent these girls in from the daughters of Cain, and they had intercourse. And before you know it, the whole countryside was polluted with filth and with sex. And it's all it was there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But because he didn't follow that trend. And I'm trying to get to something, or I'll get going on it. But see, that, like I say, I prayed. And then the Lord got me together with this girl, and we got married, and we had five children, three boys and two girls. And God, like God was okay with that. It's just a natural makeup in that community, or in that cult, or in that commune that I was living in, and that hard-right system. And then I came to there came a day when my lad girl was born, and that was happened about, and when she was born, very well, I've said it before, the very morning she was born, 5 o'clock in the morning, and 9 o'clock in the morning I had an appointment with my father-in-law, and it was really the beginning of the end of me forever being a Hutterite, because the Lord tapped me in the shoulder, been dealing with me for a long time, saying, I want you to go speak for me, and when you're going to speak for me, you're going to lose it all, because that's what they're going to do. And the day, they were these Hutterite preachers. That's what I'm going to have to be confronted with, is these Hutterite preachers, and they're going to take everything away from me. That's why I can say over and over again, that system is not of God. It's of the devil, and it's so obvious. But at that time, I didn't know that. I just know there were things going on that were not compatible to the scriptures, that were not compatible to what I've been taught and what I have been preached to. And, you know, when you get married in that colony, it's not like you get married out there. In the colony, you got to make a bunch of promises, and you're coerced into and what they do. You got to promise that you're going to do your level best to try to lead your wife now to the Lord, you know? Like right there is something amiss, because you can't give no salvation. And you got to promise to do that. And yeah, you try, but you're working against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You're going against the structure of God, because God adds to the church daily as many as should be saved. You cannot convert nobody. It's just that simple. That individual person, they have to make that decision for themselves. So that slow brainwashing session, that you get brainwashed and that commune, it's completely contrary to the Word of God. And by the time you come to your senses and to realize what's going on, it took me a lifetime to figure out, hey, that thing is none of God. But one day I began to see the cracks in it, and I began to speak up against it. Of course, the Lord dealt with me on it. And he said, Sam, give me your family. I'll protect them. In the meantime, I want you to go out there, and I want you to expose that Hutterite thing for what it is. I'm kind of just speaking plain now. I didn't know that's exactly what the Lord was wanting me at that time. But when I look back now, I can see exactly how the Lord has been dealing with me in my life from the day I was born, really. And then, like I say, came to the edge of it. I had to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And the only sacrifice you can really bring to the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to settle that, make sure that you have the Lord Jesus living within you. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Like that song we sang the other day. They can take this old house I'm living in. They can take everything I've worked for in life. But there's one thing they'll never take away from me. Yeah, they tried their level best when I was sick unto death a year ago. Then Satan sends his tongue in here to see if they can't coerce me and to go back into that compound, because once Satan has you locked up into that compound, you're as good as dead, you know, spiritually speaking, because he doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind you going to living in a communal, as long as he has control of you, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't mind you all that religious ceremony and all that, but as long as he has control over you. And then when the Lord took me out of there, see, then he had no more control over my life, because in there he controls you. And here the Lord takes me out, and then he gets me to work for him. Now, you and I, we're about the Lord's business. Ever since that morning when I had that encounter with my father-in-law, and it was, like I say, it was the beginning of the end for me. Of course, it took 2-3 years before this soul smear, this rigmarole and all round and round, and before they finally came in and terminated me. See, here I was, and here they were, and they were like, you go back to, they were a very powerful force, you know. And I really at the time didn't know what was up against, but I know one thing, I knew they were none of God. And now when I look back now, I can see exactly what's been going on. That's why you and I, we can see we're a fact that that thing is none of God. And so the Lord led us on, and then for the longest time, I was by myself. I was just led by the Spirit of the living God, and I was led to the ministry of Brother Branham, and I was led to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and then 2004, the Lord, 2005, I guess, that's when the Lord brought you on board, and then we began to spend time talking about the things of the Lord, and I realized that, hey, we're on the same page, spiritually speaking. Now, this has got nothing to do with that, with marriage or with romance or any of that, or sex, or any of that natural, what the natural man has implemented in a person. And little did I know that you were asked, Lorraine, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to get married or what? And you answered, no, I'm going to see what the Lord has for me. You put that, like you've said over and over again, you put that marriage on the sidelines. Absolutely not, want no part of it. You put that sex life on the sideline. Didn't want nothing to do with it. You put all that aside simply because you wanted to see what the Lord Jesus had for your life. And now here, I didn't know none of that. And like I said back then, I didn't even know he existed prior to 2005. And then eventually the Lord got us together. And we spent more and more time together fellowshipping around the Word. Now this is a completely different, the opposite from what God puts in the makeup. We had no intentions for sex. We had no intentions of marriage. We had no intention of romance. It was strictly and simply working for the Lord. And then one day the Lord told me to pick you up, go trucking. I've said it over and over again. But see, now, then he let me know, Sam, from now on, you cannot, you have to, without Lorraine, there is no more program. What you done uphill down is good and well, but from here on out, you might as well don't even, you might as well just be dead, because you can't move ahead without Lorraine. So then the Lord puts us together, we get to drive a truck together. And eventually, this is what you see here now. This is what the Lord had planned before the foundation of the world. Before, what then in Ephesians 1, when he made that great big blueprint. And here we are, he brings us together. And now here we're doing this work at the closing days of time to bring out a truth and to show the human race, really. First, like I say, you got to deal with that. Where am I going to spend eternity? And like I said, the only sacrifice you could bring to God in the day and hour we're living in is the Lord Jesus Christ. Like you got to be born again. And like I said, they will never take Jesus away from them. They can take everything. And they did take everything. And like we said the other day, they have that power. And who are they? It's that religious system. Like I say, Satan is okay with you living in that communion. But going back a little bit to a family, every human being, he wants a family, you know. He wants a normal, like that. When I grew up, when I had that colony, I couldn't understand why I can't go fishing with my children, you know, and things of that nature, going camping and doing what people want to do that have a family. But then there, you can't do that because that religious system, that devil, he's got that whole thing sewed up that you can't really have a normal family life. And at the end of the day, and I prove it to you, at the end of the day, that is not your wife. That is not your children. She belonged to that cult. And let's just be honest with ourselves. You get married in there, but Satan controls that marriage. You have children, but Satan controls those children. It starts in kindergarten, where
it's really indoctrination. That's what it is. And you can't really serve the Lord in spirit and truth. That's why when you go there, like, they'll talk about Jesus in their sermons and that, this, that, and the other, but there's no spirit and life.
Yeah,
that's what's missing, is the spirit and life. See, the things of God and religion do not mix. It's either or. And when you, like David said, I know the Lord is always before me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. See, when you're on the colony, first and foremost, you have to serve that religious God. First and foremost, the things of God has to, like, if
pretend it's God.
What, they pretend it's God? Well, it's a religious God.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you have to serve that religious God. And the things of God are on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you want to follow God there, you have to do it on your own time, basically, so to speak. Like, I always, like, ever since I was young, like it says in Matthew 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what I can say, like, in me was a hunger to get to know God.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it did not mix with the religious system that I grew up in, with Hutterite-ism. First of all, you have to follow the Hutterite rules and regulation, and I call it really the Hutterite God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's basically, it's a religious God. And that's what it is, because no matter how you look at it, back in the Old Testament, they had their idols. Gideon, he had to go and destroy his father's altars. Those were strange gods that he were worshiping instead of the true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to go and he tear down those altars before God could use him. And, you know, before I could really give my life to the Lord, I had to really dig myself out of all that religious rubble and out of the things that people, like, the devil has ways to trap you. If it's your family, if it's a religious system, if you cannot be free to serve God, and, you know, you're bound to something.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to be free to serve him. And it takes a lifetime to basically work your way out of that.
That program that you're right on, the devil worked overtime to make sure it never happens. That's his job. So he had me locked up in that Hutterite prison, really, so that I never do become free. Like, he don't mind you living in there. Like, no. He likes it because he has control over it. He has control over your family. They start in kindergarten where they teach them things all about Hutteritism, all about the Gemeine and all that stuff. But see, what happens then, I'm just trying to walk you through this whole schmear, and like I say, the devil, he doesn't mind you living in there. But see, at the end of the day, and I can prove it to you, at the end of the day, those are not your children. At the end of the day, that's not your wife, because I can prove it. When I went up against them, the first thing they came, well, if you don't do it our way, and rightly so, because that's what they do to keep their system intact.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it their way, you don't have. They use your wife as a wedging because that's really who they belong to. Mm-hmm. Those children don't belong to you. That's why you cannot really have a family structure in there. You can't go out with your family and live like normal human beings do. And on planet Earth, you can't go camping with your family like every human being wants to do. You're locked up and you got to abide by their diabolical rules and regulations. And like I say, it looks good, but really those children are not your children. They belong to the state, so to speak. They belong to the commune. They belong to the calling. I can prove it to you. I hadn't seen my children maybe for a couple of months, and one day I decided I'll go home for a visit. And my dad calls me up. What do you want here? I said, I came to see my children. They're not your children. They belong to the church. Madder than a hornet. And then one day that other preacher, I hadn't seen my wife in maybe 2-3 years, I came home. What do you want here? I came to see my wife. Well, she's not your wife. She belongs to us. See, the proof is in the pudding. Now, all we're doing what the Lord told me to do back then when he said, Sam, we got some work to do. I want you to go and expose that thing. Expose that spirit that's behind it. At that time, I didn't really know that that's what it was. But when I look back now, that's exactly what the Lord was saying when he called me, tapped me on the shoulder and said, Sam, we got some work to do. I want you to come and work for me. In the meantime, just give me your children. I'll look after them, and I'll see that everything is taken care of. And sometimes I, like that one, my Jonas, you know, my son Jonas, and he's the only one that's not married. And he left the colony, and I tried to help him out, you know. He wasn't living the way he should live. So I had to kick him out of my house, and because I gave him an option. I said, come and live and come and support me, what we're doing, or you can't stay here, because what he would do, he would party all night, and then he'd come home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I tolerated for a while, but when the Lord came, and he gave me 3 warnings, and I knew if I don't listen to what God is warning me about, you can't have him in your house living the way he's living, and you're setting a very bad example. So I had to told him to go get his own place. But anyway, then for a while there, he looked pretty good, and then I wanted to help him out financially. So I give him a car. I give him that little Jetta car, that blue one. And then he didn't want it because it was kind of too lowly a car for him to drive. He wanted to drive this big Duramax, you know. And then I gave him a big truck, a highway tractor, to go trucking with. Well, that didn't work. And like I say, when the Lord told me, he said, give me your children, I'll make something out of them. And then, like, I'm trying to be an ordinary here. I figured, Lord, you're not doing a very good job. I'll take him under my wing. And then I gave him my car and I gave him that truck. But it all backfired, you know. That he was not meant to go trucking. And then it worked for a while. Then he parked that truck somewhere out in the country and we had to go out and pick the truck up. And it's just the way he is. It's just, so I just quit trying to make something out. I said, Lord, I can't do nothing. It always backfires when I try to help him. So here it is. My children, they're well taken care of. The Lord is leading and guiding their lives the way he wants to, not the way I want. If I had a choice, I wouldn't be doing it the way it is, but the Lord knows better than anybody how to raise children, as long as he's in control of them, and he blesses them. And what I'm trying to say is it's better that I'm about the Lord's business than what you and I are doing here. We're about the Lord's business, and you're not going to hear nowhere out there what we're saying here. You, nobody will tell anybody what we're saying about the hour we're living in, about that rapture coming up, about the season that we're living in, about the truth for your day. Nobody will tell you that because you and I, we're connected to those 7 stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And I shouldn't be the one having to say that, but here we are, at the closing end of time, and we're that last structure, so to speak, of what God had back in that great council, and he had that word. But in the days of the voice, when he shall begin to sound, he began with that vocal course of Brother William Branham. And then that word began, he continued when Brother Branham passed away, he continued with the vocal course of Raymond M. Jackson. And then when he went off the scene, like we're saying, we were all being tested, and then he's going to see who he's going to find to be faithful and wise to deliver meat and due season, to do exactly what you and I are doing here. And he found you and I to be faithful to deliver that meat and due season, and to do exactly what we're doing here now to do, to finish off the third leg of that angelic voice, because we're just speaking what the Spirit of the Living God tells us to speak of. Like today, wanted me to make sure you got that program. Like, first, you have to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And back then, it was a sacrifice, a lamb. Abel bought a lamb, which represents Jesus Christ. And here we are. Like, I'm walking you through my life. I came to the age of accountable, and I knew I had to settle the score between me. Where am I going to spend eternity? And then once that was established, and then I began to look around for me. And then I prayed, I think I prayed for 10 years for me. And eventually the Lord gave me a mate, and then we had, like I say, we had 5 children. But then that chapter quit. That one day that my girl got born, saying, your life as a Hutterite is over. We got some work to do, and your life, your reproductive program is over and done with. We're going on to bigger and better things. That, I'm just paraphrasing how the Lord has led my life, and he has led it right up to this very moment. That's why we're doing what we're doing. We're bringing out that meat and due season. We're delivering that living water that Revelation talks about, come and drink out of the waters of life freely, and all it is to meditate for your day, to get you out of this hell that's coming. It's just looming on the horizon here. Judgment is coming on this planet. There's the day of the Lord. There's that great tribulation coming, where the inhabitants of the earth, everybody will be, they'll say to the mountains, fall on us. They'll say to the rocks, cover us, for him that's coming back. And just right before the day of the Lord kicks in. This is, and all we're doing here, we're just continuing on and doing what the Lord wants us to do and what he's on us out to do. Send out a warning. That's as far as we can. We just send out that warning. And I just found that out recently. We don't have too many, we don't have too many converts, and not too many people that you can really say that we have converted. But what we have done with these conversations we're having, we're putting, bringing people up to that, Bible talks about multitudes, and the valley of decision. We're bringing people up to that place. You're going to have to make a decision now, like that guy we talked to the other day. And I thought, I got to get him to see what we're seeing. No, all we got to do is bring him, he's got to make a decision now, what he's going to do. And he's closing days, is he going to believe us, or is he going to believe in that church system out there? Apparently, he goes to church every Sunday, and he's going to be confronted with having to make a decision. And that's what we've been doing with these people that come through here. Jeremy, now that you've confronted with it, he knows exactly what we're about, because I've seen him out of his own mouth. I heard him say he was literally shaken. He was so convinced that you and I are right. And now he's come to that, like, a crossroad, you know. He's got to make a decision now. What is he going to do? Is he going to continue with his old lifestyle, or is he going to believe what we're saying here? And then that Randy is the same thing. And that Jonah, she's the same thing. All these people that come through, that we encounter over the years, they're going to be forced to make a decision. And that's all that we're about. You're being brought to a place, like it says, multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. And when at the end of the day, when you sit down, and you, like you came to a valley decision, when you had to make a decision, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I'm going to see what Jesus has for me. I came up with a decision. am I going to go up and bell that cat? I know I'm going to have to lose it all. But I had to make the decision. I had come to that fork in the road, which every human being comes to. But people, they're deceived by Satan to make the wrong decision. And by the grace of God, I made the right decision to lose it all for his sake and the gospel. If you're not willing to lose it all, he that's willing to lose his life for my sake, he will gain it. And that he that is holding on to his life, he will lose at the end of the day. So you're better off to just surrender your will to the Lord. Let him do with your life what he wants, because he knows best what's best for you. And that's been pretty well our journey and our life. Like I say, everybody is coming now up to the valley, to that decision, that fork in the road, so to speak. And they're going to have to make a decision very soon here. What they're going to do, where they're going to spend eternity, what are they going to do with this end time message? They're going to take it or leave it. And like I say, that's all we're doing. We're bringing people to that place. Hey, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with the Samuel Wright chapter?
It's basically a light is being shown and you're going to and exposes their life and the decision that they have to make. And what the choice a person makes, that always determines a person's destiny.
Yeah. So we're just...
But I know I had a hunger and a thirst in the Hutterite colony, and it was not for a religious system, it was for the righteousness of God. And that led me to the righteousness for my day and hour, to the ministry of Brother Branham, to Brother Jackson, and it says, you will be filled. He filled me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very true. He had his hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and he filled it with bringing me to the truth for my day. And that's what he can do to each and every person. If that's why he brings us across these people's paths. And what do you really have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for the truth? So that person has to make that decision.
See, when we send these books out, the Lord will wake me up at night sometimes and move on my heart to touch base with somebody and to send them a book or maybe even go visit them. And when we do that, let's say we send these books out to these people, and then they have to make the decision, what are you going to do with that book? Well, I'll throw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's your determination that you're going to just bot yourself a one-way ticket out to hell and death. Because there is nothing outside of this here truth.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be the one having to say that. But that's exactly what I've seen over the years. We sent that book out to this one guy over there. I prayed for him over the years, and I kind of liked the guy. So I told you the other day, I sent his book to him, and then 2 days later, maybe a week later, I saw him in town. I went over, did you get the books I sent you? Yeah. So what did you do? Throw them out? Yeah. Well, it's the worst thing he could have done. See, right there when he took his book and he threw them out, it determined his destiny, where he's going to spend eternity, where his whole family structure is going to end up. And here, lo and behold, I look. 2 weeks later, his wife died. And now, he just made that decision. That's where he not only made a decision for himself, he made that decision for his whole family structure. And that's simply by rejecting the truth for his day. He knows all he had to do. He knew the stuff in there was true. He read some of it. When I asked, what do you do with trauma? Yeah, some of them, he said. So he must have read it. Because I know what was in that book, but that Jeremy's testimony was 100% the truth. And like I say, what we're saying here is the truth. There is nothing out there. There's nothing outside of this here truth, because it's the last chapter before that rapture happens. And that's what we're doing. What we're doing. We're not doing our own thing. We're doing that because the God of heaven designed it to be so. Nothing to do with us. We just surrendered our life and our will to the Lord back in the day, and he's just leading and guiding us, and he's given us this spiritual insight. Like I say, you came to the valley, to the fork in the road, and you had to make a decision. I came to the fork, I don't have to make a decision. But it was all based on scripture, you know what I'm saying? Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another opportunity to come and sit with you in heavenly places, Lord. I know this conversation, we're all chucked up. I'll just pray, Lord, you'll somehow put the picture together, put the pieces that are missing, and draw a picture to the people that might one day want to listen in and let them see what we're trying to say here, Lord God. We know it's your perfect will that we got together and we're doing these conversations on a day-to-day basis. We just pray you'll take what we said, put it together, use it for your honor, for your glory somehow. Lord, I just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.